Our Holy Gospel today comes from the 12th chapter of Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will put down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do small things, a thing is neither toil..." If you are not able to, I'm out of breath from playing that drum. That was. If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is in the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows what you need and when you need them." And then I didn't add verse 31, but it's important. "Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of life. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Three things: who we are, what we say, what we do. Who we are, what we say, what we do. Who we are. Who are we? I turned on the news this morning and there was sad things about who we are. We're broken people, you know. Right? And there's a wisdom saying, "Comparison is the thief of joy." Teddy Roosevelt is the person who is attributed to saying that. "Comparison is the thief of joy." I like that. I can't stop thinking about it because joy is one of my three words: generous, attentive, joy. Those are my three life words that I found in Tahoe when Beth and I lived in Tahoe. And I was sitting in our church office and looking at the mountains, and those are the three words that God gave me. Live by these things: generous, attentive, and joy. But comparison is the thief of the joy. That person over there, you pick the comparison. Well, however you want to do it, it takes away from the best of who we are. But it also, I think, is challenging when you compare someone who makes choices that might be radically different than probably all of us in this room, of taking up arms and doing some horrible things. But how much different are we than that person, really? Because we're all Mr. Potato Heads. We all got different pieces. You know, we all got the essence of being alive, of breathing, doing the things that we do. But how different are we than the person who makes that choice that's horrible? Horrible choice. one of my friends has a father-in-law and lived the American dream. It's almost out of this parable exactly of what Jesus talks about with abundance. He's lived in Southern California, grew up poor, moved to San Jose, started selling vacuum cleaners. It turns out he was a good salesperson. Started making some money, invested that money in homes. Started buying some homes. And 30 years later, 40 years later, he has 50 homes in San Jose that he rents out. And the American dream, from nothing to a millionaire, over and over. Because the California housing market in those 50 years, like every housing market, but especially in California, in San Jose, exploded. Well, fast forward to age 70, 75, and he lives with his daughter and lives in the basement in a beautiful home. But his question one day, a real question, was to his son-in-law, is $100,000 a lot of money? Now, why did he ask that question? Because he has Alzheimer's. And if you know that disease, you know it just drains you. It drains the life out of you. All that stuff. And he doesn't even know what that means, 100K. How different are we than other people? We're broken. We're broken. We're broken people. I'm broken. Mourning has broken. You know, when I was a chaplain, I loved hearing the harp, because harpists would come to St. Pete's, you know, and do that harp therapy, which, if you weren't paying attention, is pretty cool. It brings joy. It brings peace. It brings calm. And that mourning has broken. You want the next day to come. Who doesn't want the next day to come? There's a mass shooting. I want the next day to come where there isn't. We all want that. And part of that song, Mourning Has Broken, I think the power of it, and especially today for me in this moment, is I want my mourning to be broken, my mourn, mourning, my sadness. I want joy. I don't want sadness. I want joy. Jesus in the text says, are you worried? You shouldn't be. You shouldn't be if... And here I'm going to quote a little song. I'm not going to sing a song this time. I didn't write a song, although I did write a song, but I put it aside. And I was running around our lake, Hicks Lake, and sometimes I have to have very motivational music. So I have all gospel music, as fast gospel music, because then it makes me, I don't go fast, but I don't do anything fast, but it makes me move more than usual. And here was the lyrics from Kurt Franklin's song, and it's really a simple question. And the song is called Idols. And he says, either God is a God of all, or no God at all. When you're running along in life, either God is a God of all or no God at all. And you have to decide that. As Jesus suggests, it's not about possessions. You might think it is. And in our culture, in our American dream world, in my friend's dad's world, possessions, he was wrapped in them. And then it didn't matter. And in that story, I'm going to build these big barns. Well, your life is taken. So it's something other than the idol of possessions, which Luther and Jesus and Paul all talk about. Idols, the things that aren't God. Either God is the God of all, or no God at all. So we're worried people. And Jesus says, stop worrying and let God be the God of your all. All of it. So what do we say in response to that? What do we say? Well, my Baptist-turned-Lutheran friend, I was talking with him about the sermon for this Sunday, and then he said, this is what I'm going to focus on. The thing we need to remember is to talk to God in praise and prayer and thanksgiving. So if we're going to say anything, let's say it to God in praise and prayer and thanksgiving. Now, I didn't go through confirmation, but this is my Baptist-turned-Lutheran friend who's more Lutheran than anybody I know. So I knew praise, prayer, and thanksgiving was a phrase that came from somewhere. Do you know where that phrase comes from? Praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. It comes from Luther's Small Catechism. That's right. Luther's Small Catechism, which I didn't go through catechism, so I didn't remember that, but from him I know, because he's super Lutheran, that's the thing. Praise. Thank you, God. Prayer. Every need covered, like we do when we gather here. And thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the gifts that we have been given. God is the God of all, or God is no God at all. That's what we say to God. What do we say to others? Our office administrator suggested one day when we were talking about various things, Vicki Lipinski, she gave me this thing to think about, and it's think. And you can look it up, but think. T-H-I-N-K. When you're talking to others, this is what think is. Think, T, is it true, what you say to another person? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So she had written that out on a sticky for me, and I still have it in my office, and because I can't remember those. I can only remember three things. I can't remember five things, so I have to always write it down. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It turns out when you try that, I experimented with that for a day. All right, I'm not going to say anything without reviewing that. It turns out there's not much to say. And then that kind of focuses you back on, why don't you just praise and pray and give thanks to God. And there may be others, some of our leaders perhaps, who don't maybe think before they say things. But I'm going to get back to comparison is a thief of joy. How far away are we from those who you think say things without thinking? You know, maybe we ought to think about that. So that's the one to look up, think. And then finally to ourselves, what do we say to God, to others, to ourselves? And this is what I think we need to say. I am a broken, loved, forgiven child of God, and so is my neighbor. I am a broken, forgiven, loved child of God, and so is my neighbor. And so I'm going to think before I say something to someone else. Think about who I am and who they are, and I'm going to think that through. I'm going to continually give thanks to God and pray to God and give praise to God about the wonderful creature I am. Not compared to someone else, but who I have, what I am. And I'm filled with pain, but I know others have that too. You know, when I grabbed that Mr. Potato Head, the other day I went to see a film, and as I was going on Martin Way, up comes this guy zooming up the hill, you know. Well, this man was strapped in his motorized wheelchair, and he had no arms and legs. I don't know how he was moving so quickly, but he was moving, and he with intention. It almost looked like joy, because he was just moving along. Now, you go down that road and you wonder, how does a motorized wheelchair negotiate some of that? But it didn't matter for him because he was cruising along. And what do we do? This is probably the easiest and hardest simultaneously, which that's how Jesus is. This text says two things. Be rich toward God and strive for the kingdom. Be rich toward God and strive for the kingdom. Karen was rich toward God today because in the psalm it talks about my riddle upon the harp. And we heard that today. Morning has broken upon the harp. What does it mean to be rich toward God? What does it mean to be a billionaire of God and how we live in this world as God's creatures? Or a millionaire if a billion seems like too much. And how do we think of that? Because, Jesus says, it's more than just, ooh, I'm glad to have retirement and Social Security. I don't know about my kids, but I got it. It means more than that. Rich toward God. And maybe in your prayer and your praising and thanksgiving of God, God will give you some insight into what that means for you this day and going forward. Whatever gifts you have, whatever you look like, God will use you. If you remember who you are, a broken, loved, forgiven child of God, and so is my neighbor. And you remember that and pray and lean into and be rich toward God is the God of all. God is the God of all. Of all things, of all people, of this world, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of mourning and grief, God is the God of all, because there is a new day. Morning does break. And that's our hope. That's God's gift in our prayer of the day. That's the goal. That's the gospel. Amen.